Okay.
Good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight's show is with Catherine Alice. And Catherine, I'm looking forward to this interview, so welcome.
Thank you, Lori.
And this is a long distance call, so this should be very interesting to see how this works. But you are going to be talking about love and intuition and soulmates.
Right.
So this should be very interesting. So why don't you start with a little bit about your journey on how you got to where you are?
Well, I am a practitioner based at APE Spiritual Center in L.A., and I directed the crisis support team there for 6 years. And in the course of our work, we really found that things that made most people suicidal were relationship issues, dating, love, heartbreak. And so I began to specialize in that as we were able to turn people around pretty quickly and see miracles happen in their love life. And so out of that work came my work now.
Well, that's very interesting. And so because of that, and what about your own love life? How did that, if this is your work, how did that usually, typically, we go through our own challenges when we, if this becomes our life work?
It's been fun. It's funny because when I first started teaching these workshops, I was single and everybody was ribbing me, well, where is your soulmate if this works so well? Meanwhile, everybody else was getting their soulmate and hooking up, but I kind of got an internal message that my soulmate wouldn't come for a few years, and he did show up. We're married now with 4 kids. We've been married for many years, so it worked out, and it's certainly my work now enriches our relationship as well.
All right, so let's talk about what this is all about for you. So what is a soulmate?
A soulmate is someone who was meant to be by your side. I feel like ultimately you cannot miss one another, that your soulmate will get magnetized to you. You can delay it sometimes by behaving in a way that's not honoring of yourself, by not being open to love. But you cannot miss them. And I believe they were meant to be with you. And once you're together, you walk through life together. And it's the easiest relationship you've ever had and the best.
And does everyone have one?
I think everybody does. I'm Southern. And so my saying for that is that there's a lid for every pot.
Okay.
That's my grandmother.
So if part of your work had been with, a lot of people that were having, going through suicide or wanting, having these issues, and knowing that love is such a huge issue for a lot of people, I think a lot of the work that we're doing is regarding relationships. Usually relationships are where we grow the most. And so if knowing that, this is probably a lot of women's challenges, it's probably more women than it is men's, because men seem to be more focused on their career and building their career than that, and women are much more focused on creating relationships. And that's not just a partner relationship, that's all relationships. So if that is part of the one of the biggest problems, if it is so easy, or if, everyone has what you would consider a soulmate, why is it so difficult for so many people?
Well, this is going to be controversial, but I think they may not be with their soulmate, or if they are with their soulmate, they're making it hard. I have a bottom line belief, and the last chapter of my book, Love Will Find You, is called A Relationship from Heaven. I have a belief that relationships do not have to be hard, and that kind of flies in the face of everything we've been told. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that, and I think that if you're not with your soulmate, it can be very hard. And if you're with your soulmate, you might be making it hard by focusing on the wrong things, by getting all caught up in the mundane things of life and forgetting the miracle of the love between the two of you, and just relishing all of the joys and the life that you share, and remembering why you fell in love in the first place. So I think it's simply that people have not yet learn to get to soulmate level, or they haven't learned to hold out until they're actually with their soulmate. They get desperate and settle for somebody who does not fit and who's not right, and it can never work out. And I think that's why the divorce rate is so high right now.
Right. Well, why do you consider a soulmate so special?
A soulmate is special. As we know, not every Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes along is our soulmate. Mm-hmm. It's a rare thing. And so as you find them, it's not humdrum. It's not usual. It's someone who is meant to be by you, and it just sparkles your whole life. Your whole life lights up. Everything clicks. And it, for some people, it does come easy, but for the majority of people, they wait a while. They go through some knocks in their love life before meeting them, and it makes it incredibly precious. And you know, some people wait longer, and then when they get their soulmate, they get to cherish it and be as happy as anybody they've ever known, just because when it finally comes, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that soulmates are part of our soul group? Is that what you are terming as a soulmate?
Yeah, I absolutely. They are the member of the soul group, the ultimate member, kind of beyond. If you know, I think probably your listeners do know when people, when we became individuals, we broke off from a group, and that when we meet our friends in life, our group, we recognize them. Our soulmate not only is part of our soul group, but I kind of follow the twin soul philosophy. And that's that you were actually created at the same time and split off from each other to go out and have your own individual journey, and then you were programmed to come back together. And so that's the twin soul theory. For some people, it might be a little bit airy-fairy, but I do believe that to some degree we were destined to be together. We were together at one time. We will come back together, stay together like that. And the soul group is similar but not quite as closely connected. And so, yes, they're part of the same in a way.
And most people believe that if it is part of our soul group or part of this twin flame, as you talk, that, you know, these are the most challenging relationships we have. And they're, you know, they're there to help us grow because it's part of our soul growth, not necessarily part of our human growth.
Well, I don't completely agree with that. The challenging part, because, yeah, if you focus on it being so difficult and challenging, yep, it sure will be. And unfortunately, in our culture, we're kind of trained to focus on the difficulty. And I have not found that to be so in the people who do my work. I haven't found it to be so for me, that it's the most challenging. For me, it's been the easiest, and I still can't get over how easy it is. And that's what most people find who do my work. You have to give up a belief that it, relationships are hard. This is going to be hard. Yes, you grow together, but as you easily embrace the growth, it's a joy. And we're here to be joyful. We're here to relish this and, yes, to grow. But that's not to put the joy part or the happiness part on the back burner. That should be front and center. And I kind of teach people to do that, to make it that way, so that suddenly you've got bliss all the time. And I do believe you can have that.
Okay. And you...
Does that make sense?
It does. I think we might have different beliefs on soulmates versus twin souls and the soul group. But, you know, I think it makes sense if that's how you see it and how you've experienced it. Right?
And I also have a philosophy that you may be with several soulmates. There's only one twin soul, but several soulmates, and all of them are from your soul group. But the other thing is, too, that I think there's an evolution going on, and I thought it was huge that when people realize they're not going to skip off into the sunset, that they actually had to communicate with this partner and work together and grow together. And so that was the stage before this one, the soulmate stage, where, yes, we are acknowledging relationships are for growth. You have to work through things. You have to communicate. You have to deal with the stuff that comes up within you. But then the next step, evolutionarily speaking to me, is to get to that joy phase, where it is such an amazing sharing, an amazing communication, and just to be relished, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we might have a different view, and I feel like things are shifting even in that view, thank God, because, you know, who wants to get married when you see these people who are suffering and growing and going through intense agony? I would opt out of that. I'd rather be like when you first fall in love and you're floating a few inches above the ground all the time.
Right. So what are the biggest blocks people have to love?
Well, the biggie and one that I often deal with is attachment to the wrong person. In terms of manifesting your soulmate, the biggest block is to think you've missed them and think somebody else was my soulmate. I missed them. I blew it. Or to stay attached to a past love because you think they're your soulmate, which is when you're attached, there's this thing I call the voice of attachment that's telling you that. And it's not real. The minute that you get rid of the attachment, all of a sudden you get rid of that voice that was saying, this is the only person, you've missed the boat, you have to make it work. The attachment is very deep. We're hardwired for attachment. And so that is a biggie. Another one I think is people getting desperate and settling for the person. And that's why I think the divorce rate is so high. And then another is people get their hearts closed. When they go through a few hard knocks dating-wise, they start getting in the rejection mode and they get suspicious of people. And when you get that way, very negative about relationships, you actually block yourself from being able to manifest your soulmate.
Right. Okay, so you say that a lot of people get hung up on a former love and seem to think that that's, you know, part of... you know, that was their soulmate. And I've met a lot of people that have felt that way. And so,
yeah.
How do you think, I mean, it says here that you're releasing a CD to address some of this. But what do you,
right.
What really do you have to say to some of these people that, you know, are thinking that this is the case and they really can't let go and they don't want to move forward because, you know, they're, you know, always agonizing over the fact that they blew it or, you know, they lost them somehow. And, you know, how do you help people with that?
Well, my releasing a person CD is made for that. And my release technique is one I teach even to other mental health professionals because it kind of gets in the part that's stuck. Because even with your logical mind, when you know that it's not right and you're in a lot of pain, there's a part of you that's not agreeing. That might be subconscious and you don't have control over it. And so you're still attached even when you don't want to be. The first step that has to happen and what I teach people is just to admit that they need to let go. And the way you can know that if it's not happening right this minute, if you are putting your life on hold for somebody else, which is beneath you and not even in integrity, if you're in terrible pain about it, then you need to let go. And the first step has to be admitting that, okay, I need to let go. That's number one. And then from there, I teach a releasing technique. It's on that CD. It's a guided meditation, which is very powerful because it's a form of hypnosis, and it gets into the parts that might be resistant, that are attached, the voice of attachment that's very illogical and kind of deep inside of you in your emotional body, not really your conscious mind. It can't control it, but that particular technique, it lines up all parts of your being to be willing to let go. Sometimes the person will come back, but they're more likely to come back if you let go. You can't fake it, thinking, oh, they're going to come back. You have to really be willing to let go. And if they're your one, they'll come back. But meanwhile, at least you are free to live your life and find joy again and not be stuck in this place because it's not fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that CD is available now?
The Releasing a Person CD is available. It's available on Amazon at my website, which is KatherineAlice.com. And it was the first CD I ever did. It's been out for a few years now.
Okay.
And it just sells and sells and sells because I know it's very good work and it's really caught on. But it is the first one I did because it was the biggest source of pain and also being stuck, being close to your soulmate, having a major block. That's it. And it's, you know, it is very helpful, and I get all these stories. So thank God, you know, that we're learning what can get people beyond it because it's a sticking point.
Right. And what is the comment that you say they'll have a wreck in your yard?
That is, yeah, another one of my Southernisms. And what it is, I believe that if you're an introvert and you don't get out much and you don't like bars or parties, which is how a lot of people think you must meet someone. If you don't even want to do online dating, that you will meet your soulmate in a way that's right for you. and you might meet them while staying at home. You can actually magnetize as you're opening and doing like the work that I teach. You are magnetizing them to you. And people used to laugh at me when I said that. And it is kind of goes with the law of attraction that you will magnetize them. But since I've been saying that in the, you know, for 10 years now, I have a whole file folder full of people who actually have written me to say, you were right. I met them while staying at home. And so you don't have to do things that don't feel right to you to meet your soulmate. In fact, that's the wrong thing to do. Don't force yourself to get out there like almost every other relationship coach says, because if you're feeling awkward, you're not in the right state of mind to attract love anyway.
Right. So how do you welcome in your soulmate?
Well, in terms of the inner work, and that's what we're talking about here, when you see them show up at your door, the best course of action is to try to remove the blocks we've talked about so far and then send out a soul call. That also is that's on my Manifesting Love CD. It's mentioned in my book, Level Find You, as well. There's a chapter on the soul call. What it is, it's an inner invitation to your soulmate out there. I believe it kind of acts like a heat-seeking missile to go out and find them, and they feel it, and it urges them to come to you. And you can do it like with the guided meditation on my CD. You can do it by just closing your eyes and getting kind of meditative, getting quiet, and just talking to them on the inner, and they will hear you on a level. I hear stories all the time of people who've done this work, and it's amazing how well it works. Mm-hmm. And how accurate their call is answered. So that's it. And then just to kind of seal the deal, to take a step in the outer to affirm that they, they are serious about this and wide open to love. Like it can be as simple as buying a greeting card, because we're talking during the holidays, buying them a Christmas present, step up, and even though you don't know them yet, and you give it to them when you need them.
Okay, we missed some of that.
I really have faith they're coming, and this is to further my invitation. And there are many different kinds of things you can do to back it up that way.
Right. Sorry, there were a couple things that you keep coming in and out a few times, not very often, but you said to buy a gift, just to go over that, because we kind of lost part of that. So buy a gift for the person.
Okay, well, in terms of having a further step, something you,
right,
an action you do to further your soul call, buy them a gift since it is the holidays. Buy them a gift to even though you don't know them, to save and give to them. Get a card for them, which is what I did with my husband years before I met him. I bought this card, and it got really gray and old. And I kept it, and on our wedding day, I gave it to him, and it said, "Forever is not long enough with you." And he was very moved. But do something like that, because you actually get to give it to them. It's a symbol. Like if you clear out a drawer in your house because you're kind of cluttery, just to make space for them symbolically, oddly enough, they'll start keeping their underwear in that drawer later. You see it actually manifest, and it's really fun. So are you hearing me okay now?
Yeah, it just goes in and out every once in a while. It's pretty good considering you're so far away. So
I'm in the Philippines, so we have a very long international connection. So I'm glad you're hearing me as well as you are.
Yeah. Okay, so how can we use our intuition to help bring in our soulmate? Is that pretty much what we've already been talking about?
It is, and I can add to that too.
Okay.
The thing is, to use your intuition, and this is touchy, because the voice of attachment, when you're attached to someone and it's not working out, that voice is telling you, this is the one, you have to hang on for dear life, you have to make it work, this is your last chance. That is not your intuition. As the voice of attachment. So with your intuition, what you're going to have to do is get very centered from any kind of a place like that where you're desperate or off and being attached. You can't hear your real intuition. And so the measure of your intuition showing you the way is, do I feel centered and happy right now? Is it flowing? Is the outer manifestation backing me up? Is it happening? And that can tell the tale. And so your intuition is, as you get centered, as you do this work and get very hopeful about love, as you remove the blocks, your intuition will lead you to be in the right place at the right time. And so, as you know, intuition, a lot of intuition is just getting rid of the blocks in the way, being, mm-hmm. like being off center, feeling desperate, being in an energy that couldn't possibly allow your real intuition to shine through.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit more about the blocks, because I think, you know, these are important aspects to this, because, you know, I think we often try to avoid some of the deeper, darker places, and we talk about our story, which a lot of people have, especially if they're looking for love. A lot of people have abandonment issues and separation issues, and so we're, you know, right. constantly talking about that story, and that certainly interferes with bringing up what we want. We also have the other side of the spectrum, where we have a lot of these very strong spiritual women, and I find it quite amazing that there are so many right now that have never been married or never been, you know, in a relationship. And yet, you know, some of them are in their 50s or their 60s. And, you know, this is a unique time in history where, you know, it's not as necessary to be in a relationship, but it's, you know, everybody still wants it. And so, you know, they have a different problem or a different issue. They're very strong, they're very independent, and yet they're still not able to bring in what they're looking for. So that's kind of like two spectrum. Yeah.
Okay, well, that, you know what, that brings up a really important block that I do find. And I thank God for my mentor, because she is a reverend. And she always said, all I want is a good man. He doesn't have to come to church. He doesn't have to be spiritual. There's a saying that a man's way to God is through a woman. And if you ever go to church, it's usually 75% women, 25% men. And the same for, you know, certain workshops and spiritual growth. Men have a different way of processing in general. I don't like to get overly general about gender, but in general. And so I think that one reason that a lot of spiritual women are single is they're blocked in that they think it has to be somebody just like them on this path. And that's not necessarily true. You can be very happy with a good person who has their own spiritual path, which you can't judge, because women do process differently emotionally in general. And so I think that that could be a block in and of itself, having this belief that they have to be just like you, want to hang out in the exact same circles and do the exact same work. That can be a huge block, because that is unrealistic in terms of, you know, men.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what do you recommend to these strong women that are, you know, that are these strong independent women that still, you know, it's almost like they're doing independence too well. You know, they're not putting out the energy that they're, that they can be, and maybe it's not that vulnerability, but vulnerability to me is a strength. Just, you know, showing that open-hearted love that, you know, will attract somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, I think you said, though, vulnerability actually is strength. It takes a certain amount of security to be willing to show yourself as vulnerable. And so, yes, if some of these women who are, and that's one of the things when I work with women, one of the things I have them do, if they're kind of a workaholic or very involved in work, is I force them to start having some fun. To actually, their soul call might involve clearing their schedule and having some unstructured time, some spontaneous time when they just learn to relax and do what feels in the moment joyful. Mm-hmm. And that's very helpful. And I ask them to cut down on their work schedules. And yes, to ask to reach out and with their heart. You can get very in your head if you're working a lot, to get down into their heart, like you said, and extend love and be warm and open up and be vulnerable. And that's very important. And that's, they're out of balance if they're too far over in the independent work mode. And so that's where they need to bring the balance back in, and that will open them to love.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see this a lot in my workshops and in my work, where people will say, women more than men, but everybody says it, is there are no good men left. They're all taken. There are no good men in this town. It's really hard to find an evolved spiritual man who's available, because, you know, they get snapped up. And I have to tell them to stop that. They have to release that. We see weddings in every spiritual community every day. So somebody's finding somebody. And I've heard that in every city. I've taught in over 50 cities in the world, and everybody says some version of that. And mm-hmm. so I have to tell them that is a belief right there that is a block. So mm-hmm. we need to open up to it. It doesn't matter if there's an appearance of no good men or nobody who could be right for me, to knowing a deeper truth, seeing with the eyes of faith that there is, and I have faith that they're coming to me. And even if it's just one person, that's all it takes.
Right. So does everyone know what love at first sight is? Does everyone have that opening? And how will you know if it's...
No, not at all. Yeah. Studies about this are pretty interesting because they seem to be contradictory, but they're not. One study says that love at first sight, they found love at first sight only happens about 10% of the time. And I think that's going back to these blocks we've been talking about, Lori.
Uh-huh.
Just that if you've been around the block a couple times and had your knocks in life through love, you're a little closed. And so it may take you a minute to open up to chemistry, to open up to loving somebody. And so if you've ever thought somebody was kind of cute and then suddenly you can't stop thinking about them a few weeks later, that's an example of that happening. The other study that might seem contradictory is that people know right off that they have chemistry. And chemistry does change as you get to know someone. Sometimes it fades. Sometimes it gets greater, and that can show you your soulmate. But there has to be some chemistry at first. And that's why speed dating is not a complete wash. It's because you have to at least find them somewhat cute and appealing. If you find someone really not appealing to you at all, then I would. It's safe to say that they're probably not your soulmate. So love at first sight doesn't happen, but, you know, not having love at first sight can be fairly accurate. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And it just makes me laugh because I remember somebody telling me that, you know, they didn't really find him attractive, but then they just kept, you know, they just kept meeting up with him. And, you know, they still didn't really find him attractive, but there was something attractive. It was like, oh, I believe that was his bank account. But so, you know, it's amazing how it's amazing how people, you know, tend to rationalize things. And it was a terrible chemistry because they could never meet up. And she was just so convinced, but she really was convinced more so about the bank account than it was about, you know, this relationship.
Yeah, and okay, right there, you've mentioned another blog that we should talk about, and that is trying to make somebody your source. These days, as you mentioned, women are very independent. We don't need anybody to pay the bills. Like in the old days, it was kind of a social agreement. The only reason to be with someone is because you really adore them, because they are your soulmate. And so this person, in this case, was trying to make that person the source of her wealth, and that's out of integrity, and clearly that wouldn't be a soulmate relationship. So one of the things you need to do is get centered and not you personally, but people who are listening who are single need to get centered and know that you're just loving them because you love them, not because of their bank account or anything else like that, because that's off.
Mm-hmm. So how will you know when it's really the one?
They make you feel good. There is that chemistry, that regard. You feel like you've known them a long time, and you could talk about anything. You can be yourself. They almost make you more yourself in a way. You don't have to put on airs. You don't worry. Everything goes very well. You rarely fight. And then the proof is in the pudding. Is it lasting? Are they still invested? They cannot see past you. They're crazy about you. I'm not one of these people who believe you have to earn love or have to be on your best behavior. They just love you. They cannot see past you. Your vampy best friend can sashay by, and he doesn't even notice. He can only see you. And so those are my criteria. And definitely they make you feel good. You know, they don't tear you down.
You know, it makes me think of some people. You know, sometimes they say, and, you know, that love is not enough, that there are things that get in the way, that, you know, you have, I guess, your blocks, you have your stories, you have the things that you need to work through and the things that your partner needs to work through. And sometimes, whether it's timing or, you know, one person's at one stage and another person's at another, for whatever reason, but that, it, you know, sometimes love isn't enough, even though there's still that connection and there's still that attraction and there's still, you know, this powerful exchange. Sometimes things still happen.
Yeah, I mean, they can happen. I think that mostly if it doesn't happen, it's because the people involved are putting up blocks that are fake. You're letting other things get in the way that really should not be important. Or it's possible you're just not meant to be together. And you might love each other, but maybe the motivation to be together and the love is not enough. Like, you're not soulmates. If you soulmates, usually you have a burning desire to be together. You really want to be, and you're going to go out of your way for it.
Mm-hmm. And have we talked about all the different types of blocks that people have? Because I think there's probably quite a few that...
There's a lot of blocks. I'm trying to think. I mean, we've gotten into a lot of the big ones. A big block that I see that I don't think we've particularly touched on is self-esteem.
Oh, yeah.
And that's huge because... If you don't feel worthy, you will tend to settle. You won't go after or feel like you could even attract someone you're actually attracted to. That's the most likely to be your soulmate is somebody who's really hot to you. That's how you tell. That's one of them. It's not the chemistry's not enough, but that's one of the criteria. And if you are discounting every hot person because you don't feel like you could get them or like they wouldn't love you, that's a self-esteem issue, and it is a block, and you need to get rid of it. And that you do that by trying to see yourself better, because you're not seeing yourself well if you think you're less than.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of women have issues with self-esteem and, you know, seeing themselves as good enough. And I think, you know, there are probably men that have the same issue with regards to, you know, believing that they are enough. But I do believe that women probably have it a little bit more than men.
They do. Men do too. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like there's certain things our society or culture, you know, says you should have as a guy. And if you don't have them, let's say you're short, then I've seen that as an issue. Where they are in their career or their earning power can be an issue. You know, there are certain things that make guys feel less than from childhood if they were, you know, always picked on, then they do too. And I've worked with a number of men, but definitely women have it worse. We are in a patriarchal society to this day where women don't make as much as men. And we're valued, some of the feminine qualities are valued less than the masculine ones. And so for that reason, yeah, I see it more in women. And women tend to overgive, accept less for themselves, and they have to find a balance where they actually will allow themselves to be given to, because your soulmate tends to be your equal, someone who will nurture you as well. And if you're not accepting that, then you probably won't you won't be open to them.
Right. Yeah. The equal exchange.
So that's a self-esteem issue where you really have to work to know you're worthy, that you're equal, never put anybody on a pedestal, and also being able to receive and not just give, thinking mm-hmm. you have to earn something.
And we do tend to do that where we give our power away to somebody else. I think, you know, there's part of this, I think we were talking about it earlier, but that, you know, we tend to be in this power struggle where we women, almost part of the collective unconscious, where they're thinking that they, you know, they have to save they have to save the world, they have to save their partner, they have to save their children, they have to save their pets. It's they're always giving. They're giving away all of their power, and they're not, you know, embracing their own divinity. They're not seeing themselves as, you know, a reflection of the goddess energy. And so it becomes, that's where the self-esteem comes in. So what do you recommend then for women who, or men who have self-esteem issues?
I would say to, first off, to try to quiet the voices inside of you, inside of, you know, whoever is listening, that tell you you're not enough. Because when you're a kid, if you ever look at a small child, they know they're important. They don't have problems. They don't agonize over whether they're worthy or not. But somewhere along the way, somebody questioned them. or told them they weren't worthy or they needed to earn something. And so eventually you internalize those very voices that have criticized you, and you are the best criticizer of yourself. You don't need anybody else cutting you down. You do it yourself. And so the first step is to get rid of those voices and replace them with the voices that tell you you're amazing and you're wonderful and you're amazingly lovable. And the way you can do that is start writing down the yucky voices and get in touch with awareness as a big healer. So just as you become aware of those voices that are saying the wrong things, the not true things about you, then you can write them down and then write the truth. Start cataloging your specialness, cataloging your successes. That's a big exercise that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And in behaviorally not accepting crumbs, quit being a doormat, setting boundaries with people, allowing people to give to you, getting rid of people who are a complete drain on you and that you give to because that's out of whack. Get rid of people who would cut you down, or at least distance yourself or tell, you know, draw the boundary. It's not okay to talk to me like that.
Right.
So those are some first steps.
Right. Well, a lot of women, I think, have difficulties with boundaries. I think, you know, we haven't really been taught how to create healthy boundaries for ourselves, for our relationships, for all of our relationships. And I think, you know, it's a challenge. What do you recommend for creating healthy boundaries? I mean, you sort of mentioned it, but I mean, how do you strengthen that connection for women or for everybody to create healthy boundaries?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the first thing is notice when you're getting resentful, because you're resentful when you don't speak up or when you haven't drawn a boundary. Our resentment is in direct proportion to the control we're not taking of a situation. And so as you notice places you're resentful, try to do some detective work internally to find out why. Why am I feeling resentful? What am I not speaking up about? What am I not drawing a boundary? And then drawing boundaries is very hard if you've never done them. So do baby steps. At least say something. You know, say something to begin with and remove yourself or cut things off if they're getting bad. You know, cut off a phone conversation or in-person conversation. And be prepared to feel horrible after. You will feel, one of my clients put it that she felt like a witch with a bee. But nobody noticed. She was just drawing normal boundaries that someone with healthy self-esteem has. But for her, she felt like the biggest, you know what, you could ever imagine. And that's a good sign. So if you feel uncomfortable, you're making progress. If you feel like a witch with a bee, you're making progress. And probably nobody will notice. But those are some steps. It's going to feel a little uncomfortable if you've never done it. And the other thing that really helps is to look at people who do. It helps so much to have at least one role model. And it's easier to find, but in the past it's been really hard to find a woman with good self-esteem. I had one. And notice what they do. And they feel like they have the perfect right to speak up. They speak up in a nice way. They don't have to yell. But they just feel very entitled. Notice them and emulate that behavior, because that can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good thing to think about, it because there are some strong women out there that, you know, in the media, and if you don't have someone that you know personally, there are women out there that, you know, do tend to have a stronger presence and feel, or at least show that they have a high confidence level. Whether they do internally, we don't know, but on the external, they look like they do.
They do. And if you look hard enough, maybe you'll find one in your real life. And it's fascinating because so many of us were damaged. The parenting philosophies when we were all growing up were so off.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this whole, you know, many generations actually of people who were wounded. But every now and then somebody slips through who had good, wonderful parents and who are intact. And it's fascinating to me, and even watching my own children grow up, to see, okay, that's what it looks like when you just have natural, healthy self-esteem. Because I have a quiz on my website, the self-esteem quiz, that kind of pinpoints the areas you need to work on. And when I took it way back in the day, I checked off every one. I was a wreck. So for me, I've had to learn myself what healthy self-esteem looked like, how to regard myself highly, see myself as God does, you know, see myself as sacred.
Right. Okay, so what are other blocks that have, I mean, I think, you know, one of the biggest problems with divorce tends to be around the issue with money. We sort of talked about it very briefly with, you know, women who are looking for somebody who's, you know, going to be their sugar daddy or their source of wealth. But, you know, I think financially, and I think, you know, obviously communication, which we sort of talked about too, but, you know, communication being the big thing that we need to be able to do with regards to relationships and having a healthy relationship.
Right. That, yeah, that's important at every stage. Communication, even to go up to somebody who you think is very attractive and say something. Mm. That even that much of a communication, some people get so cowed they won't do it. But communication just as much as it looking in their eyes and saying, how are you? And remembering there's another person involved. It's not just about you and you're being shy. It's about another person who might need to connect with you and might need to contact. And healthy self-esteem, as you go in a relationship, you're willing to say the problems that arise for you. You're willing to say how you're feeling. And that's a big step. But the soulmates that I see who do come together, that is one of the hallmarks of their relationship, is that they are willing to talk about anything. And it's so much better than holding things in.
Right. So, okay, so how do you help people attract their soulmate? We've talked about, you know, buying a gift over the holidays. I think the holidays is probably, you know, one of the very difficult areas for women who are single, because it's typically associated with family and get togethers. And, you know, there's a warmth with regards to, you know, how we feel in our hearts with regards to the holiday season. If you're alone during the holiday season, what do you do? How do you recommend people to, you know, begin to make that soul call? What do you suggest? What does that look like? How can women start, you know, with that and feel their confidence level increasing?
Yeah, well, that's a whole chapter in my book, or not a whole chapter, but part of a chapter is how to deal with the holidays. But it can make it a lot more fun if you're single and there's no prospect on the horizon at the moment, to make the holidays a little bit about connecting with your soulmate. Your 2010 can be amazing for you. And so I would tell people to do that soul call on the inner, talk to them, buy a present, and kind of keep them in mind. Imagine next Christmas, next holiday, when you'll be together and introducing them to the family and them getting along very well, making Thanksgiving dinner together, just to start imagining what it's like. And that brings them closer. But it can make the holidays really fun. In the meantime, I suggest that people think in advance what they're going to do, even have backup plans so that they're not going to get caught being very lonely, and really focus on love. Focus on the connection they do have. I know that many people, as they do this work, they have the best holidays of their lives right before they meet their soulmate, because they've made it fun. They've been open to magic, and they get all these amazingly magical things happening to them out of the blue. And you might even meet your soulmate this Christmas, you know, people who are listening. You never know. But if you're open like that, the holidays are a time when people do realize they want somebody in their lives. Men and women, and they are a famous time for people hooking up.
Right. That's good. That's definitely true. So you think of your soul call, you talk to them. Are you like a list builder where, you know, you think of all the qualities that you're looking for?
Yeah, I do. That's one of the steps I do. And not as you don't want to use that list as a negative later and measure every person you come into contact with. On the list, then you're using it the wrong way. You want to say this or something better. But it can help start building a mental picture of what will do for you, because not just anybody will do. So I have people do a list of qualities, and even if it's a physical characteristic, sometimes we have a type because our soulmate looks like that. It's like a honing device for us. I also ask people to make a list of what their soulmate loves about them. Now, this is that self-esteem piece again. Mm-hmm. It's just making a list of why their soulmate loves them, what is special about them, and why they're the more hard time they have with it, the more they need to do it too.
We cut out a little bit there, so I don't know what you said before the more hard time that you have with this.
Did you hear the part about making a list of what's special about you and why your soulmate loves you?
Yes.
Okay. So that was the second list. And the first list was just the qualities that you want in your soulmate.
Right. Okay. So that's a good thing to think about. I don't think a lot of people think about themselves and their own qualities. I mean, what I usually tell people is that you need to embrace the qualities that you're looking for from someone outside of you and embrace them inside of you as well, because chances are like attracts like, and that's how you radiate that person to you.
Exactly. You know, and you may not have the exact same qualities because people come together because they fit. One might have something, one thing, and then one might have the other, and that makes them work nicely together. But certainly as you come to balance in your life and appreciate the things you have and then also appreciate the qualities you want, it really heightens the attraction to bring them sooner.
Right. Are there any other tips that people might be able to practice this holiday season?
Well, you could go look at wedding dresses. I have a soulmate boot camp that I took my hard clients through, the ones who really were not manifesting, who were blocked. And one of the steps was that. It was, you know, going wedding dress shopping. Trying on wedding dresses, and then there's this one lady who took it way far than that. She bought a wedding dress, set it up on a mannequin in her bedroom.
Wow.
And, you know, people laughed at her. But she eventually really did wear that dress down the aisle, getting married to her soulmate. But I would say anything that feels fun, you need to pamper yourself. This is, practicing self-love. And so have backup, too. One of the things that a client of mine does, who I think is so smart, she's gotten a collection of books that she wants to read, and she's a big reader. And so she's saving them. She's depriving herself now, knowing that over Christmas, when she has some downtime and she could feel sorry for herself, she's got these delicious books waiting for her. And so if there's anything in particular that makes you feel good, make sure you've got that on the agenda.
Okay.
But it's a good time to give to yourself as much as you give to others. You could buy yourself a special treat this holiday, just to acknowledge that, that you will give to yourself and be there for yourself as much as you are there for other people. And that makes it a lot more fun.
Right. And I getting that what you're saying is, try and make this light and fun instead of these women that are, absolutely longing and, what's the word? Desperate?
Yeah, desperate.
Desperate.
even a kind of an intense longing can reek of desperation energy.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with desperation is it repels. That is an energy that you are pushing away as much as you got your hand and pushed somebody away when you are staying in desperation. And so a little loneliness is good because you've got a little void in there that wants to be filled. You have a vacuum that will be filled, and you want to, very carefully shelter that vacuum and protect it for the right person. Don't fill it with junk. But if you have a big longing, you're so busy longing, you're pushing it away and you can't have any fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that won't work. And the more you have faith that they're on the way, and I would tell that to yourself, and anybody who's listening, he's on the way. He's on the way, and I'm going to enjoy this my last single holiday, and there's a possibility I won't get through the holiday. Just have a more hopeful energy. Like the best psychic in the world told you, yes, they're on their way forward, and so you don't have any doubt about it.
Right. Well, that's a good. I'm thinking of one woman who is similar to that, saying, "Well, yeah, I'm going to meet him this year," and each year goes by, but it's because there's this desperation that and longing that goes with it that is very, 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 very difficult. And she's not having fun.
Yeah, well, I've had people who've been like that for a couple years. And they don't regret the time because they learned so much. They got soulmate ready, and they were able to have a good relationship through all the work they did to get rid of that negativity. It's negativity,
mm-hmm.
The bottom line. And it can absolutely hold love away. But then when they manifested, it was so good that they never regretted waiting or having to go through what they did. So it still can happen even if you've got all these voices of doubt going on. And for anybody who is feeling that bad and has a chronic pattern, it doesn't help to beat yourself up and say, gosh, I just can't get out of this negativity. It's better to soothe yourself to the next level of feeling okay. And then the next level, you don't expect to suddenly change yourself so much you're going skipping through the tulips. it's just impossible to get from one place that's chronically negative and chronically in the place of feeling lack to feeling complete faith. There's a spectrum. So you want to keep going up and up and up. And it will still happen, even if you've had a few years of, oh, this is the year, and then it didn't happen, doesn't mean it's not gonna.
Right. And I think also, you know, what happens is you think that it's going to happen, you think it's going to happen, and then you give up on love because you've pushed it. And this is probably from our childhood as well, when we get disappointed and get disappointed and get disappointed, we stop wanting. And I think a lot of people, you know, in many cases and in many different areas in their lives, not just relationships, but a lot of people give up because they're too afraid to want anymore because of all the disappointment.
I know. That is a problem. And most people, when they start doing my work, they get hopeful pretty quickly. I'm very upbeat, as you might be able to tell. And I tend to be kind of a walking pep talk. And so, if they do enough of my work, they can't stay in doubt anymore. They have to find hope again. And that's why so many people do just a little bit of my work, and all of a sudden, and they've really given up, but all of a sudden there's this glimmer of hope, and bam, you know, love hits. It doesn't take a whole lot of hope. But I would say, luckily, and this is a really good thing for everybody to remember, is that you are not, your past does not determine your future. You're not limited to what you've known before. And so that's why you always have hope for better, and you don't have to give up.
Right.
So that's why love success is predicated on that fact. You have to know that you don't have to abandon hope. You have to know that you still have hope, even if it hasn't shown up today. Doesn't mean it's not gonna, because it will.
Right. Unfortunately, I also know some people that have gone to astrologers and stuff and been told, oh, no, sorry, you missed your opportunity and there it's gone. It's like, oh, my God.
All right. Well, I have to say to anybody who went to a bad astrologer like that, ignore them. You get infinite chances. And I have a good story. I had a psychic who read my palm and told me, this is right after my divorce and I have one child. You will never get married again. You will never have more children.
Wow.
So here's the funny thing is I saw her in a bookstore just randomly a few years later with my new husband and my new child, and I even had another child after that. So if you've had somebody who told you a prediction that you don't like, just dismiss it. You get to choose this stuff. And I get, you know, it plagued me for a while. It's like it telling me such a negative thing, and I cried over it. But then I said, you know, I get to choose this, and I change my destiny right now. And anybody who had a bad reading like that, just shrug it off. It means nothing because you get to choose. And if you want love, you get it.
Right. So you have a bunch of books and a bunch of CDs. What ones do you recommend at this time for women that are looking or men that are looking for love?
I would say that Love Will Find a book, and it's...
Oh, sorry. We just cut out.
In many countries.
We just cut out.
That's the best introduction. It's a primer of my work.
Okay, say it again because
we
cut out.
The Releasing a Person CD and the Manifesting Love CD are really good introductions as well, depending on where you are. If you need to release, if you're stuck on somebody in a miserable place, get the Releasing a Person. And if you're really ready for soulmate or you want to do that as a next step, you can get them together. But and then have that as the beam of hope. But the Manifesting Love CD absolutely is a soul call, and it teaches you how to magnetize your soulmate.
Okay. Sorry, your book got cut out.
So those are the three.
Right. Your book got cut out. Just say it again.
It's called Love Will Find You, and it's available everywhere and in many countries and, you know, all over the world. So.
Right. Cool. And... what else would you recommend? We got about 6 minutes or so. What would you say for this time? What do people need to hear?
They need to find hope again, that they get love, and they need to know there is divine timing. So as you come together with your soulmate, you won't regret anything. You won't feel like you wasted a single minute. And not all of us have our soulmates early. There are two 95-year-olds that recently got married in California. I've had the oldest that I've had manifest their soulmate was in their 80s. So love doesn't know any time. It doesn't know any weight. So even if you're really overweight, there's tons of people who have found love who are not in perfect physical shape either. If you're handicapped, if you're ill, chronically ill, I've had people like that also find love. So their love knows no limits. So if there's something you've been telling yourself, a reason why you don't get love, throw that out. You get love wherever you are, whatever's going on for you. And so that's like, that's what people really need to know, because I have to say one thing we didn't mention is most people that I've ever worked with have something they call, I call it a fatal flaw.
Okay.
And it's this deep, dark secret they think is unlovable. And once anybody who dates them finds it, they'll go screaming from the room. And it's false, because your soulmate even loves your little imperfections. It endears them to you. And I've seen that time and time again. And so you have to know that however you are right this minute, you are lovable.
Right. Do you want to talk a little bit about that deep, dark fear that we kind of hide? Because I think that's probably important for people to understand. Because I don't think it's always conscious.
Well, everybody has something. With women, sometimes it's a physical thing. In my work on soulmates, I ask people to bring that part up and imagine their soulmate kissing it. And so one example is a lady had freckles and moles all over her tummy. And she was really embarrassed and would never wear a two-piece bathing suit. Well, one day, when she had just started dating this guy and they had finally spent the night together, in the morning, he pulled the sheet off of her body and the sunlight was coming in right on her tummy. And she was dying. And he started kissing it all over and saying, look, a constellation. That's a perfect example of what will happen with the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen everything from acne scars where a lady would keep her face away from the day because one side had acne scars, only I couldn't even see them. They really weren't visible.
Huh.
You know, but for her, it was this weird block she had. And it's funny because sometimes people get plastic surgery and then they find something else. It's a deeper issue of self-acceptance, of knowing you're lovable no matter what. When you're single, lovable issues come up. You know, they really do, about whether I'm lovable. Every insecurity you've ever had, and even before you're with them, it's a good time to address them and really get to the truth. I am whole, perfect, and complete as I am right now, as is. And that's why people lie. studies have shown at least 80% of people lie on their own online profiles if they do online matchmaking. And this stems from thinking you're not enough as you are. You wouldn't lie. And the people who find their soulmate the soonest are the ones who say, this is me. Take me as I am or don't.
Okay. So do a soul call. Buy a gift. Get ready for the holidays. Just enjoy the holidays like this is the last single holiday you're going to have. And
yes,
get ready and have fun.
That's right.
Well, Catherine, you've been a delight. I think, you know.
Well, thank you, Lori. You too. It's been wonderful to be with you.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm sure you help a lot of people. And I think, you know, connecting in through this show, people might get a little bit of hope over the holiday season, because I know that with the financial crisis that has been created and the way things are going, I think a lot of people get, you know, caught up in their own drama and their own problems. And so this might give some people some hope to bring back into their lives. And I think that's an important thing.
I hope so. That's my highest hope for this, is just that people will get hope.
Right. Okay, so tell people how they can find you.
My name is Catherine Alice, and you can go to my website and find out all about my work and get free articles. And it's CatherineAlice.com, spelled CatherineAlice. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, so if you know how to spell my name, you can look me up and follow me or friend me.
Oh, and unfortunately, I think she just got cut off. So that will be the end of this show. And there is another show coming up with Lorraine Rowe, who is the author of the Psychic Housewives Handbook.